text and WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. Now, are you terrified of the dentist? Has it prevented you from going? Do you dread it, the idea of the chair, the bright light and the drill? Well, we might have an answer for you, because the Irish Dental Association conference is on today and tomorrow. It's online, of course, and tomorrow it'll be hearing from Dr. Mike Gow. He's the man who could cure you of your dental phobia. He's a director of dental anxiety management at the Berkeley Clinic in Glasgow, Scotland, and he'll be discussing the benefits of dental hypnosis. I talked to him and I first of all asked him to outline what it does and what it can be used for.
Indeed, there's actually a wide number of applications of dental hypnosis. You know, anything that has a psychological impact on you that's to do with dentistry, it can help with. So, for example, it can help with dental phobias and anxieties. It can also help with people that grind their teeth or people that have a strong gag reflex. It can be used to help control pain, stop smoking, you know, the list goes on and on.
Look, for people who wouldn't be aware that this is actually used, how is it used? How does it help certain people?
Well, it basically taps into the kind of subconscious mind and, you know, the things that make all of us tick. You know, human behaviour is often an automatic response. So we, you know, we react and we respond to certain things in certain ways because we're kind of conditioned and we're used to just behaving that way. And hypnosis is an ideal way because it utilises the subconscious. So we're actually able to tap in and change some of these programs and some of these reactions so that we can behave differently and experience things in an easier and more effective way.
So is this a possibility for, let's say, going without anaesthetic for certain procedures?
It can be, and you know, this is the type of thing that attracts kind of media interest because it's quite sensational. You know, if somebody has a big dental procedure with no anaesthetic, but it isn't a new thing. You know, the first tooth to be extracted using hypnosis was back in the mid 1800s. So we've been doing this for a long, long time. So it's certainly possible. My advice would be, you know, if your dentist can be trained and learn these skills for pain control, then ideally you want to be using these techniques in combination with local anaesthetic and with traditional pain and anxiety control. And that's really where it comes into its own and is most effective.
Yeah, and have you conducted it? You obviously have. You're advocating for it to be used alongside other treatments, but have you conducted it, and how has it worked?
Yes, indeed. I mean, you know, we do see occasionally, time to time, you get patients that have strong sensitivities or even allergies to local anaesthetics or different medications. So these are the cases where people have got very few options with how they can manage the pain of dental treatment, and hypnosis works fantastically well in these cases. But I've also been filmed for a variety of documentaries on the BBC for Horizon and things like this, demonstrating, you know, wisdom tooth extraction and implant placement using hypnosis as the only anaesthetic.
Yeah, is it an issue? Do you come up against it when you talk about this and advocate for this? Some of the misconceptions, perhaps, maybe the myths around it. Like, people would think, hold on, now that sounds a bit dodgy to me. Like, people think of hypnosis, they think of a magician. Is that part of the problem?
Yeah, occasionally it is. I mean, there are a lot of myths and misconceptions around hypnosis, unfortunately. You know, but that's, you know, hypnosis isn't particularly well kind of regulated or governed. There are certain laws around it. But it can be used, you know, in entertainment and for shows. And, of course, that gives a completely different impression of what hypnosis is compared to how we use it in medicine and dentistry. You know, for me, the concept of hypnosis is essentially being a coach and really teaching somebody the tools and the techniques where they can control their anxiety, they can control pain, smoking, whatever it is that they want control over. And I think, you know, when you look at the media side of it and you look at the guys on stage, you know, they're giving the illusion that they're in control of somebody, which isn't really what it's all about.
Yeah, there's no 3, 2, 1, click your fingers and you're back in the room.
Absolutely not, no.
Okay. From there, like obviously it's worked. Are people surprised? Are they shocked when you're able to apply this and it works in the individual cases?
I think the surprise comes in how effortless it can seem, but that's kind of part of the nature of how it works, you know, because it works in our subconscious and it kind of happens at that low level. People are really surprised when, you know, they can have had a phobia for decades that has been really powerful and really strong. And, you know, using the right techniques, you can overcome that surprisingly quickly. And that's often the surprising part. But, you know, I explain to people, you know, if you've got a very strong phobia, we know that you're creative imagination is very powerful and very strong. So if somebody has a strong phobia, I already know they can be hypnotized because they're already doing it. They're just doing it the wrong way.
Yeah.
So really all they need is guidance as to how to apply what they're naturally very good at, but to do it in a creative, constructive and positive way.
Yeah.
So it's quite easy for me. My patients are kind of self-selecting. If somebody comes and says, I have a phobia and I'm interested in hypnosis, I already kind of know it's going to work. If that makes sense.
Yeah. You don't put them to sleep effectively. It's a different, it's just about channeling things in a different way and redirecting their phobia in a more positive way to allow them to undergo the procedure.
Absolutely. I mean, hypnosis is a bit of a misnomer, and James Braid, when he first came up with the term, realized after a short while that, you know, it's called hypnos after the Greek god of sleep, and he soon realized that you really weren't asleep.
Yeah.
So he attempted to rename it, but it was a bit late by that point. So you are awake. It's a kind of daydreamy type state of mind that you're in. So you're not quite fully conscious, but you're certainly not asleep.
Yeah.
And it's while you're in that kind of dreamlike, dwam-like zone that your unconscious mind or your subconscious mind will accept suggestions and ideas that are more acceptable to it, as long as it's acceptable to your belief system and your morals and your ethics.
Yeah.
And it'll take these things on board, and that's where the kind of effortless effect.
Yeah, I remember myself many years ago, I had to have an extraction done, and I don't know if this is related now or similar to the field, or maybe it's something completely different. The dentist was telling me, look, I'm just fitting this on now just to see if it's the right size, so nothing's going to happen yet. And then all of a sudden, whoop, and the tooth was gone. So I didn't tense up, and it was much easier.
Yeah.
Is that something to do with it? Is that related to it, to stop that tension that someone can have?
Yeah, that could be just trying to reduce the expectation. In my experience for anxiety and phobia, you know, the last thing you want to do is do something by surprise. You know, people need to be in control and know what's going on. You could lose trust very quickly if you did something like that. So it's about being prepared. You know, again, somebody who's phobic has created images and a projection of everything that's going to happen. So they've already set this wheel in motion of, when I walk in the front door, I'll start to...
There'll be a drill, and all of a sudden I'll be in racked in pain.
Yeah, exactly. So they've already created this loop, this scenario in their brain. And we have a pathway in our brain called mirror neurons, and that's responsible for a lot of our automatic reactions and behaviours.
Yeah, there you go. That's Dr. Mike Gow there on the line talking to us in relation